A little deeper this morning. I'm not trying out anything new. I'm a little bit under the weather, so bear with me. Or perhaps some of you might like the kind of huskier version of Pastor Josh's voice. Hopefully it won't last too long. Feels like it's been a little while since we've been able to gather together. We had the church was closed because of inclement weather in the past weekend. But I hope that wherever you were, in your homes, with family, that you were able to have a wonderful time of worship together in the Word, and perhaps even singing songs of praise together. And my wife Esther and our little boy Caleb, we just sat in our living room and we sang some songs together of praise, and went through the devotional and the passage together as well. And what a great thing to just really be reminded of God's presence, wherever we are. It's not that we have to be here that God meets us, but wherever we're at. So even though we weren't able to gather together here, truly I believe that God was honored through our worship to Him wherever we were at. But what a joy to be here together as a church family, amen? Oh, you guys are still cold, huh? What a joy to gather together as a church family. Amen? Yeah. All right, you guys are trying to make me lose my voice, so I had to stop early, huh? Here we go. We're going to look now back into the book of Philippians, and we are now in chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 12 through 16 together. And in the last message that I gave just before the new year, it was a challenge to live our lives for God's kingdom. With every moment of our lives, to live for Him and for nothing else, nothing that this world has to offer, nothing else that might seem shiny or motivate us to live in this world, but to live for God's kingdom, who He is. And we're going to continue in that thought as we think about our calling in life as believers of Jesus Christ, our calling in Christ. And when we look in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16, this is what the Word of God says. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, would you be with us as your word is preached? God, even through a broken voice, your word will speak loudly. We believe that. Because your word is living and active, and God, it is not my words or my speaking, but it is your word that you have preserved for us over the course of history so that we can have it together here on this very day, this particular passage that you want for us as a church to hear and to be challenged with and to grow in our understanding of you. So be with us, be with me, be with my voice, be with just as I speak, and be with our church, that hearts would truly be open, that minds would be ready to receive your word, but it wouldn't stop there, but that everything would sink deep into our hearts so that real change and conviction could be made for your kingdom. So help us, Lord. Remind us of our calling in Christ. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, if you've ever heard someone ask you the question, or maybe ask of another person, what is your calling in life? What is your calling in life? I think depending on how old you are or what kind of context you might be in, that question might mean a lot of different things for us. You know, perhaps one might answer that question and say, well, my calling is to be the best student I can be because I'm in school now. I'm in high school, junior high school, college, graduate school, whatever it might be. For some of us, we may answer, well, my calling is to be the best mother or father that I can be to the children that I have been blessed with. And still others, maybe my calling is to be the best worker I can be, to make my way up in my corporation or in my company, and to be the best worker that I can be. I believe that's my calling. And so there's all these different answers that could come out of the context of which you are now living. I still remember this question, what is my calling? It loomed largest when I was in college because I associated it very much so with what am I going to be after I go to college? What am I going to do in my career, in a sense, with the rest of my life? So I was asked this question, what is my calling? And I remember, like a good Asian American kid, I went into college pre-med. So I was actually a biology major, and I finished with that degree. But, you know, I really believe that in my senior year, and I've shared this testimony before, that God gave me this calling. Yes, he called me to be a full-time pastor, to not try to mix in ministry as I'm being a medical doctor or as I'm being a dentist, but to do full-time ministry, preach the word of God, meet with people, share the love of Christ in that way. So here I am. I've gone to seminary. I've got my Master of Divinity degree. I've been doing ministry. I was doing ministry in Princeton, New Jersey, and now God has called me here to D.C., and I'm so happy to be here where God has called me. So the question then is, well, what is my calling? If I'm saying my calling was to become a full-time minister, then, hey, calling fulfilled, right? I've kind of finished up with what my calling is. Well, is that the case? Have I already fulfilled the calling in my life? And I started thinking about that because at the time in college, that's all I could resonate with what calling was. But now I see that there's so much more to what our calling in Christ is. It's not just in our vocation. It's not just in one sphere of our lives as parents, as workers, as children, as students, but it's as a believer, again, how the faith that we proclaim, how the relationship with Christ that we profess to have, how does that affect us in our everyday living? And so the calling that we have in Christ is not about what we do, but it's about who we are in Christ. And now what does that mean for us as we live our lives? So how do we, as believers, how can we be committed to this calling in Christ, to remember who we are in the Lord, and to live each and every day and moment of our lives for him? There's two things that I believe we must pursue in order to be committed. Two things that we must pursue in order to live out this calling that we have in Christ. Excuse me. These are the two things that I want to talk about today. First, pursue intimacy with Christ. Pursue intimacy with Christ. Secondly, pursue discipline in Christ. Pursue discipline in Christ. So the first is intimacy with Christ. Secondly is discipline in Christ. So let's start with that first thing that we must pursue so that we remember and live out our calling in Christ. So you see in the passage that we've just read together, Paul begins to share about his faith in Jesus Christ and his relationship with him. Now, before Paul knew who Jesus Christ was, we remember that he is someone who was zealous for God, yes, but in fact, what was he busy doing? He was busy persecuting Christians, even putting them in jail, and even leading to killing many Christians. And so he was doing a lot of works that he believed he was doing for God. And so to him, he was someone who believed that the works that he did, the things that he accomplished in his mind for God, that is how he obtained his righteousness. That is how he obtained his worth and his value. And so as he writes this letter to the Philippian church, what he's wanting to make absolutely sure that they know is that he's not claiming or preaching human perfection. Because that's what he used to live for. If I follow the law to the T, and I do all these good works, I'm building myself up into almost a sort of perfect person before God. So he's saying here, not that I have already obtained this, this is verse 12, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus had made me his own. Now again, Paul has to clarify this, that he's not talking about human perfection because there were actually teachers in those days namely the Judaizers, who were proclaiming that faith in Christ was just a starting point, and in order to perfect your salvation, you had to become a Jew as well. And so the Apostle Paul is speaking out against this and saying, no, Christianity is not about perfecting yourself. Christianity is not about just becoming a better person and trying to reach some kind of ideal humanity. Sure, that's what we're going towards, but not because that's our goal, but it is Christ who is our goal. I think that's something to talk about even in the culture that we see here today. When you hear the word progressive, there's a lot of people who take social justice and all these different types of matters, which are important things to discuss, but they have so in their mind, we need to progress as humanity into a better form of humanity. But you see that there's a problem there. Racism and corruption is not going to disappear simply because we talk more about it. Sure, it's good to have good race relations and to talk about diversity and all these different kinds of things. But at the end of the day, this is not a progressive problem. It's not we as humanity can achieve some sort of perfection, so let's work towards that. It is an internal spiritual problem that only Christ can solve. And I believe that, of course, Paul's not talking specifically about our context, but drawn out of these principles, it's important to see that. He's saying it's not about perfecting ourselves as humans. And this is what he says it is about. But I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus made me his own. So what's Paul talking about here when he says he's trying to obtain this or make it his own? Now, what he's actually talking about in this passage is very interesting because the this in this passage, he's actually talking about the person of Christ himself. And so what he's saying is, yes, I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but I have not yet fully grasped or obtained the knowledge and the understanding of what that means for my life. And so despite my imperfection, I want to continue to pursue intimacy with Christ, get to know him more deeply. And this is something that he echoes many times. He says, you know, I'm not already perfect, and there's in that an implication or an inference that he will one day be perfect. But that will just be a consequence of him being with God, not because he has worked himself to any kind of perfection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, this is what we see Paul say. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, he says, now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So there's this idea that, yes, we are once and for all forgiven, and we have a relationship with Christ, we are saved, and yet there is so much more to know about Christ, to grow in Christ, to pursue in Christ. And so that's why he says, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. You see, his desire to pursue Christ is not so that he can become perfect. You know, I think sometimes that's how we treat church and that's how we treat faith. Well, I can pursue Christ because at the end of the day, I just want to be a better person. Christianity will help me to be a more ideal me. But again, Christianity is not about that. Christianity is about knowing Christ who loves you, who gave his life for you upon the cross, who rose again and conquered death and defeated sin. It is because he has loved us, he has first pursued us, that now we respond by saying, I want to pursue intimacy with you, God. Because I realize what you've done for me. I realize what it means that by your grace I have been saved, that I was a sinner, dead, lost, unable to reach even close to you, but you reached down, you pursued me and showed me your love. And because of that, I want to live my life in pursuit of you and intimacy with you, getting to know more about that grace that is so amazing. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, it says exactly that. Is because we love because he first loved us. And that's always the order. That's always the order. He first loves us. He first pursues us. Never get it twisted. Doesn't matter how young or how old you are. We have to guard our hearts against the lie that we have to prove something to God in order for him to love us. No, we have been infinitely loved, and he made that clear through his son, Jesus Christ. So in light of that now, will you pursue intimacy with Christ? Will you follow him each and every day? Will you pursue him by setting aside time to spend reading the word, by continuing to gather together in fellowship, in Sunday school, in Sunday worship together? Let's learn how to pursue intimacy with Christ. You know, it's something that I talk about in every context. Doesn't matter how young or how old you are. So often, most people will say it is difficult to set aside time each day to read the Bible and to pray. But I want to challenge us together here as a church. If we are a church that's going to continue to grow in the depth of understanding of God, if we're going to continue to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ, let's set aside time to spend with our Lord. Pursue intimacy with Christ. Second thing to pursue. So pursuing intimacy with Christ. But there's also here, I really believe, a pursuit of discipline in Christ. Now, we don't normally put love and discipline together in our minds. A lot of times we think discipline is when you've done something wrong, then you get disciplined. But discipline here, what I'm talking about is, it's actually making a practical effort in your life to grow in the Lord. It's making a practical effort to make known, even to yourself and to those around you, that your faith is not just a part of your life, but that your relationship with Jesus Christ is what's actually driving your life and what you're living for, your calling in this world. That it is in Christ. It's not in any other person or any other goal or thing, but that your calling is in Christ. And I believe discipline plays a major role in that. Let's go ahead and look at verses 13 and 14 together. It says, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Now, when we think about pursuing the Lord or growing in the Lord, I think sometimes we kind of get this idea that it'll just kind of happen naturally. Right? Like, if I become a Christian at the age of 17, then by the age of 40, surely I'll have grown in my understanding of God. I'll have a deeper relationship with him. I think we generally kind of think like that. I think when we were younger, when I was a kid, I used to think that my mom and dad were the smartest people in the world. Why? Because when I'm younger and I'm looking at them, well, I just assumed, well, when I get older, I'll just get smarter naturally, right? Like, knowledge will just kind of come into my mind and brain, and then I'll be wise because I'm getting older. But, you know, we can all admit, we've seen 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds not so wise, still living like kids, right, many times. I mean, some of us are picturing people. Stop that. That's judging, okay? But that's the reality, that it's not something that comes naturally, even wisdom and things like this. And it's wrong to assume that with our spirituality or our depth of understanding of Jesus, that it's going to be the same way. There's a theologian that I respect greatly named D.A. Carson. And, you know, his exegesis of Greek is, you know, I would say probably top tier. But he's also a very godly man that talks about these kind of things. And, you know, there's a series that he leads called Prayers with Paul. And what he basically does is he takes and highlights the prayers of Paul within the Bible and uses those things and shows us that we as a people, we need to learn how to actually make time to practically pray. And what he says is we cannot just grow into an intimate prayer life just haphazardly. We have to be intentional. We have to actually make the time and in a real sense put in work and effort to grow in something that we desire to have or to grow in. So he says, you don't just fall into having a good prayer life. And in the same way, you don't just fall into having a relationship with Jesus that is deep and intimate. There's some work and effort involved. Now, when I say there's work and effort involved, don't hear me say what I'm not saying. I'm not saying there's work and effort involved for you to be saved. I'm saying there's work and effort that you ought to put in as one who is already saved in pursuit of a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? Again, hear me. I'm not saying you have to put in work and effort in order to be saved, but if you are a saved child of God, then there is a pursuit that ought to take place in pursuing the intimacy that you ought to have with Jesus Christ. And that comes through this discipline that I want to talk with you about right now. Something we choose to do consciously, practically. This is what he says again in verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Now, this is an interesting thing because a lot of people, they look to this verse and they think that when Paul is saying whatever is just lies behind, is that he's talking about his days when he was persecuting Christians and he was not actually living for God. So they think, oh, it's before I knew Christ. This is what he's talking about. I need to put that in my past, like my bad things in the past and good things in the future. But Paul here now has been a believer and apostle of Jesus Christ for almost 2 decades. So what he's actually talking about here is not his past life before knowing Christ, but when he's saying forgetting what lies behind, he's actually saying, I don't want to grow complacent with the things that I've already done in terms of my work and effort for the Lord. That's what I believe he's saying. He's saying, yes, there have been churches planted, many who have come to know Jesus Christ and Lord as Lord and Savior through the ministry that I have been involved with and leading in. But I don't want to go complacent. I'm forgetting what lies behind. Even in those things, I don't want to go complacent. I want to strain forward, continue to look to the day of the Lord that is coming. And I want to commit my life to a pursuit of him. So forgetting what lies behind. Not just thinking of the good old days, but looking forward, keeping at the goal of growing deeper in his walk with the Lord, but also making his name known in the world. I think that we kind of see some aspects of that maybe in some TV shows or maybe some of us here. You know, like guys who look back at their glory days. Right? You know, they're well out of college and maybe they're working and different things like that. But they look back because when they were in high school, they were the star running back and everyone knew who they were. Other opposing teams feared them. And so they kind of live in the past like, those were the days. But it doesn't help them to live in the now and in the going forward. It's almost like being stuck in the past. And so Paul is saying, don't get stuck in the past. He's not saying don't acknowledge things that God has done in your past, okay? We ought to remember God and how he's worked in our lives in the past. But what he's saying is, I want to keep my mind moving forward. I want to press on. I want to continue to move forward, strain forward, and see God's work being done in this world. And that requires discipline. It requires taking a daily decision, conscious decision, to pursue the Lord, to follow him, to obey him. And you know, the interesting thing is, Paul uses this kind of analogy of running. Okay, do we have any runners in our church here? Okay, we have a few. Okay. Did you know that there's actually people who enjoy running? Isn't that amazing? There's people who enjoy running. That just blows my mind still, right? But Paul uses this analogy of people running a race, and Christians are like a runner who's running the race. Now imagine with me that a runner has 10 miles, and he knows that the goal is at the end of mile 10. But he runs his first mile, and it's the best mile that he's ever run. So he kind of stops, and he starts thinking to himself, man, what a great mile I just ran. It's probably the best mile I've ever run. And he just kind of stays there in that kind of thinking. Is that going to help him with the next 9 miles? After that mile is done, you say, you know what, I've gotten through that mile, and now I'm going to move on to mile number 2 with my eyes set on the goal. And for us, that goal is Christ himself, to know him more, to allow for him to work in our lives so that we can glorify him with all that we do. And so I want to just challenge us in that kind of way. Are we in a practical, disciplined way pursuing the Lord. I talked about it already, setting aside time in your day to read the Bible, to be in the Word of God, and to pray. You know, when you're younger, you know, you feel like you have all this free time. And you say, when I get older, I'll read more, I'll pray more. But those of us who are older, we see too, man, when we're older, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden we want to read the Bible with all of our free time either. And those who are working, we don't have more free time because you have kids and then you have grandkids and all this and that. So every person can have a reason for why they don't pursue intimacy with Christ. But I believe God calls us to have discipline in our lives, that we make practical decisions. And it doesn't have to be the first thing in the morning, but you make a time and you say, God, I want to prioritize this time because I know that there is work and effort for me to grow my relationship with you. Yes, the Holy Spirit is working in my life. Yes, he's directing me and changing me and growing me. But God, you also call me. You give me responsibility as well as a Christian to live in such a way that is honoring and glorifying to you. So pursue discipline in Christ. We'll close with this 14th verse in this chapter. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, it's kind of still using the analogy of the runner, but he says, run as one who will get the prize, who will receive the prize. Run in such a way that you will receive the prize. Now, I started thinking about this, and it's the reality that all of us who are believers of Jesus Christ, guess what? The prize has already been secured for you. Eternity with God, unity with God, through Christ has already been secured for you. So now imagine that you're in a race and you know that you're going to get the gold medal because it's already been secured for you. How will you then respond? Will you be one who says, well, already got the gold medal, so I don't really have to do much. I can just go and I'm going to get it, right? That's an attitude that some people might have. And that's how we treat our relationship with Jesus, our salvation in Christ oftentimes. Well, I already have it. I already have my golden ticket to heaven. So why do I need to stress about working towards anything? But Paul says, you run as one who will receive the prize. Because you know what's secured for you already, now that should light an even bigger fire for us to live in such a way that honors and glorifies him. Amen? Let's be challenged by this. Let's live in such a way that practically the decisions that we make point to the faith and the calling that we proclaim in Christ. And the great encouragement for us back in the first chapter of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 6, it reminds us that God is the one who began a good work in us and that he is the one who will see it to completion until we see Jesus face to face. See, promise after promise of our security in Christ. So respond. Pursue intimacy with Christ. Pursue discipline in Christ. So that you can grow in him, know him more deeply, that we as a church can impact the world around us. Let's pray together. Just take a moment to respond to the message. Just pray, just for a moment or so. If calling is truly about your purpose in life and what you've been living for, I just want to ask you a very straightforward question. What is your calling right now? Have you been living and saying, my calling is in Christ? Or have you been living for a lot of different things and Jesus is just kind of one of the things that I'm living for? No, our calling is Christ. We take a moment right now, and if you need to repent and say, God, I haven't been living my calling out in Christ, He will receive you with open arms. He's not here to judge or condemn, but He wants to say, you see it now, don't you? There's something greater to live for. Your calling in Christ, where you live each day, not being burdened by the things of this world or your own goals or making your own way. But peace, love, joy, understanding, deep relationship with Jesus. That's what I have for you, and that's what my calling for you is. So whether that's in the workplace or with your family or with your friends or on your campus, that's what I want you to live for. So repent if you need to. I need to repent every day. God, I want to live for you. Turn away from my own self, and I want to do your work. I want to minister for you. I want to do your kingdom work. Let's pray in such a way. And if you're not a believer of Jesus Christ yet and you're here, God knows your heart. He sees what you are living for, and He is trying to call out to you. He's pursuing you right now, and He's saying, see who I am. See what I have done. My perfect Son, Jesus, I gave for you so that you would not have to try so hard to perfect yourself, but you can depend and trust upon the perfect one who sacrificed Himself so that one day you too will be made perfect. Let's pray right now. I want to live my calling for you, Jesus. I want to live out my calling in Christ. Just for a moment more, and then I'll pray, closing us. Calling in Christ. We thank you that we are even in the race to win the prize because of what you have done for us by your grace. God, I pray that we would not get lost in this world with all the different purposes and all different reasons that it gives for us to live. As believers of Jesus Christ, I pray that you would be the one that we pursue with all of our hearts. That when we stray, God, that you would remind us through your church, through the family that we have here, to continue to run this race, to live for the calling that we have in you. Would you forgive us for the times that we fail you? And just gently push us back in the right direction to live out our calling in you. May we as a church live out our calling in Christ. Help us, Lord. We need you. We need your Holy Spirit. But help us to also make practical decisions each and every day to honor and glorify you. May we be disciplined in your love. We thank you. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, now